Chapter 43. Heels, Wheels and Lemonade. Lucy and Freddie were out, Aylan told me, and I clucked in annoyance. If Sidney Grice had waited a minute, he could have given me a lift home. A whippet was chasing its tail round a man in tails and an opera hat, playing I Adora Flora, Why Don't She Notice Me, on the harmonica. The man clicked his fingers, and the dog went up onto its hind legs. I often worry how cruelly animals have been trained, but this dog was wagging its tail, and looked, if anything, a bit too well-fed. I reached for my purse, and was so engrossed in watching as I left Amber House, that I stumbled on the curb and heard a snap. Blimmit! I cursed, as I put out my parasol to stop myself tumbling under the front wheels of a brougham speeding along.
Take a bit of water with it,
the driver shouted as they clattered past. Take a lot and drown yourself in it, I yelled back, thankful that my guardian was not within earshot.
Oh, blart!
I nearly stumbled again as my heel came adrift.
This is your lucky day.
The bootmaker materialized at my side.
And mine.
He looked so pleased, and I felt so stupid, that I almost stalked off. But it is difficult to march with dignity when one heel is hanging by a thread. Can you fix it? I asked, and he smirked.
Well, I ain't a clock mender.
Do I need to take it off?
Not if you don't mind showing a bit of fetlock.
It would be a great deal easier than unlacing, taking off, replacing and relacing my boot, I decided.
Hang on to the lamppost, then,
he instructed. And I leaned my parasol against it before taking a grip on the hot green painted iron.
Foot up!
I bent my knee and he took my ankle between his knees as a blacksmith might shoe a horse.
That's lucky. The heel is broken.
I know it is, I retorted irritably.
No, I'm saying the heel is snapped through, not off. If I just bang a nail in it, it'll tide you over nice.
He clinked about in his canvas bag.
That'll do it.
More clinking.
Now this won't hurt a bit.
He started to tap, whistling along with the verse that went, O Flora, don't ignore me today. And 5 knocks later, he wiggled the heel about and lowered my foot to the ground.
That'll get you home if you don't play hopscotch on the way.
He waved his hammer like a flamboyant auctioneer.
Bring 'em back when you've got another pair on, and I'll set you up with 2 new heels. Those ones are rubbish.
I did not tell him I had paid £6 for them 3 weeks ago. How much do I owe you? The bootmaker scratched under his cap, as if solving a complicated calculation.
5 spinners,
he decided, and I ran through every possible rhyme in my head.
Spinning jennies, pennies,
he explained. You made that one up, I accused, and he wrinkled his nose. He was a much smaller man than I had thought. I realized now that he was close, hardly any taller than me, and slightly on the plump side, and his skin was almost as smooth as Sidney Grice's. He still had a brown stain on his upper lip and a trace on his lower, like a child who hadn't had his face washed after eating chocolate. A birthmark, I decided.
Perhaps. He grinned mischievously. But they'll all be saying it this time next week. Just you wait and see. Like sheep they are. Bah, bah, bah,
he mimicked. 5 pence for a nail? I complained mildly. I doubt you pay a penny a dozen for them.
Great Aunt Edith, you've got a cheap ironmonger, he countered. Give me his name and you can have that one for free. Or, tell you what, I'll just take the nail out and we'll call it quits.
I gave him a 6-penny piece.
I ain't got nothing smaller, he warned.
I nearly suggested we looked for a cafe, but few places were happy to give change unless I bought something, so it hardly seemed worth the trouble. You can knock it off my next bill, I told him, and he threw out an arm.
Oh, thanks, miss, you're an upsa-daisy.
His hammer went flying out of his hand, skidding along until a flower girl put her foot on it.
Oh, no, she cackled. Do anything for a giggle, he will.
And she towed it back along the pavement towards him.
We could do with you in goal for Spurs, Peggy.
The bootmaker clapped appreciatively, and she hooted in merriment. Most comedians would sell their mothers and throw in their souls for free to have an audience like her, I pondered, as I crossed the square. I would have given a great deal at that moment to be able to jump into the serpentine to cool off, but instead I had to gently steam under my layers of cotton and be grateful that the rational dress movement had banished the corset from everyday wear.
"Ice cold lemonade,"
a shaven-headed boy called out.
"Such a treat in the heat. Lovely, refreshing ice-cold lemonade."
That sounded too good to miss, so I risked and wasted a penny. His product was warm, cloudy and fusty, and served in a cracked cup dipped into the sediment at the bottom of a barrel. I handed it straight back. I could get better from a horse trough.
"No, you couldn't."
He flinched from my barb.
"It'd be exactly the same.